He's on the steroids.
This is not a good human being. But
if you know
where
I can get him, let me know.
One guy who is a good human being, he's okay, unless it's game day. He's already laughing. Dick fan. My guy, Dick.
Is Jabba the Hutt?
He knows the time it is, man. 93.3 KJR up in Seattle. The Softy and Dick show up there in Seattle. They're the best to do it up there in the Pacific Northwest. And here we go again. Another Niners Seahawk game. But you know what, Dick? The Niners own you guys right now. What is it, five straight, including the playoff win? Boy, you guys got a Niner problem. You got a Shanahan problem, Dick. Welcome to the show. Brought to you by the River Runners Guest Line. What's up, Dick?
It's perfect to come on, and the first thing I hear Bonta Hill talk about is diapers and changing them. So that's the first thing I heard when I got put on hold. No, I mean, it's cyclical, guys. I mean, the Seahawks ran this division for a while. The Rams have run this division for a while. The 49ers have run this division for a while. And the only question is, when is the change going to happen? And how quickly is the change going to happen? Because none of these teams are going to run the division for a decade plus. It's always going to be cyclical. And, right now, Mike McDonald has got a team in the oven that is nowhere near ready to serve. I mean, that's the best way I can put it. But I like what he's doing. And the problem is, one of the reasons that the Seahawks have lost the last couple games is the same reason why the Niners have struggled the last few weeks. They just don't have all their ingredients, man. I mean, you took the entire defensive line out of that Monday Night Football game against Detroit, and then during the game, Julian Love goes out. So you were out a starting safety, your starting linebacker in Jerome Baker, and all four of your starting defensive linemen. Now, you got a couple of those defensive linemen back, but not all of them. And you're still without Uchenna Nwosu. Looks like he's going to be gone potentially for the rest of the season. Now Tariq Woolen's out. It's just, it's unfortunate because we want to see what Mike McDonald can do. And I think we did in the first couple games of the season. And the question is, why do the Seahawks look so great in the first couple games of the season? Did they look so great because they were all healthy? Or did they look so great because they were playing Jacoby Brissett and Skylar Thompson? And I don't think we can really answer that question until all these guys get back and we can see a full Seahawk defense again.
You're talking a lot about cyclical and how things change. One thing that has not changed is the fake crowd noise you guys have been pumping up in that stadium for the last two decades. Like, keep it real. You guys are going to do that again. I mean, even when there's no action being had, there's ambient noise coming through the speakers. We all see this. It's a farce. Come on.
You sound like Bill Belichick on the Peyton Manning show this week. Isn't that what he accused Indianapolis of doing?
Well, it's facts. Oh, man, I mean, no. SoFi did it too. When you have crappy fans, that's what you do.
Yeah, Bonte's been there before. I think he can attest to the home field advantage in that building. I think every other one of the 31 teams can attest to the home field advantage in that building. Now, that being said,
hold on real quick, Dick. Hold on real quick. When I got up there, it was a hat and t-shirt game for the 49ers, so it was pretty damn quiet.
Well,
it was crickets.
Were you up here for the NFC Championship game in January 2014?
No, I was a broke boy then. I didn't have too much money to go up there for that one. No, I'm glad.
It was fairly loud that day. As was the game earlier that season where they won like 42-10 or something on Monday Night Football. No, I mean, it's like any stadium, right? It's going to be louder. The better the team is, the better the defense is, the louder the stadium is going to be. But I think Seattle has a deserved reputation for what it is. It hasn't been
bandwagon
the same
jumpers.
The last couple of years. Okay, all right.
I mean, let's call it a microwave fan base. That's what I think of you guys, because I watched you in our division and I never saw anyone travel until you actually won a championship. And that's just facts.
Oh, the traveling part, you're exactly right. The traveling part has only happened in the last 10 years, but there has not been a season ticket available for the Seattle Seahawks in, I think, 35 years.
Wow.
So, I mean, you can't get a ticket. You can't go to the box office and buy a Seahawks ticket, and you haven't since the last century. So, I mean, if that's bandwagon, that's cool. I mean, if you guys can say that in Santa Clara, then good on you.
I don't know if we could say that in Santa Clara. I'm not going to lie about that. But Dick Fan joining us here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.70 Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? From what you've guys seen from afar with the 49ers, they're 2-3, and obviously this is a massive game. Do you see Geno Smith and company airing the ball out? What's going on with the running game here? Grubb, who came over from the University of Washington, had Penix and Adunze and McMillan. What's going on with this offense? Because Kenneth Walker III, what, five carries last week? Six carries? What the hell's going on there?
Brian Grubb has a tendency to get hormonal. we've seen that with the Huskies. He obviously has a great following amongst Husky fans, but there are also a lot of Seahawks fans that are Cougar fans and Duck fans and Beaver fans, and they couldn't give a crap about Ryan Grubb. In fact, they don't really like Ryan Grubb. So Ryan Grubb has got to prove himself to all Seahawks fans that are not Husky fans. I think he's endeared himself enough to Husky fans, but that's only maybe 50% of Seahawks Nation. The rest of them are following other college football teams. So Ryan Grubb, I was disappointed in how he attacked the Lions on Monday Night Football, because the first 24 plays, there were 20 Geno Smith dropbacks against Aiden Hutchinson and that pass rush, and four Ken Walker runs. And so I'm just complaining all over the place on social media at halftime. I'm like, what are you doing? You've scored 7 offensive points. You've thrown it 20 times. You've run it 4 times. And then, to his credit, he adjusted in the second half, had as many runs as he did passes. The Seahawks didn't win that game, but they came back. Their offense looked dynamic. And then what does he do this last week? He does the same thing that he did in the first half of the Lions game, and he gives Ken Walker, who, in my opinion, when healthy, is a top 5 running back in the NFL. I mean, this guy, when he gets a crease, he could be gone at any moment, and he gives him the ball 5 times. So Ryan Grubb has been squarely in my crosshairs for the last week and a half, and he's got to prove something. And he fell, to his credit, he fell on the sword this week. He fell on the sword. Mike McDonald kind of called him out, saying, his quote was, we did Ken Walker a disservice. And Ryan Grubb obviously had a conversation with his head coach and says, I need to get the ball 10 to 15 more times than I did to Ken Walker. So whether it's going to be force-feeding him, I hope it's not just force-feeding him to the line of scrimmage, because Ken Walker's not a great between-the-tackles, you know, 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, 4th-and-1. That's not Ken Walker's game. Ken Walker's game is getting 2, and then 3, and then 1, and then 27. And that's how Ken Walker's going to get his 100 yards. He's going to get his 100 yards with 3 or 4 20-plus-yard runs, and then the rest of them are going to be 2 to 4 yard runs. That's how Ken Walker operates. But you have to allow him the opportunity, giving him the ball enough times for him to bust those 20 to 30 yard runs.
DK is such a stud, and you watch him from afar. He reminds so many Niner fans of T.O., and he's had the big fumbles the last couple of losses. What's going on with DK Metcalf?
DK Metcalf is an unbelievable talent. DK Metcalf, in my opinion, has not developed into an unbelievable football player. Mm. He's developed into a very good wide receiver, a top 10 to 12 wide receiver in the NFL. But if DK Metcalf wants to be paid like a top 3 wide receiver in the NFL, all these other things need to go away. Fumble last week, fumble on Monday Night Football, penalties, 15-yard penalties, holding penalties when he's not even involved in the play, taking away 25, 30-yard receptions by Tyler Lockett and Jackson Smith and Jigba. It seems like a weekly occurrence that DK Metcalf will give you a massive negative play. And so those things have to go away. If DK can just give you all the positives without just the brain lock plays, then it used to be unsportsmanlike conducts. In the past years, it was 15-yard unsportsmanlike conducts that he gave you. Now he's kind of calmed down a little bit and hasn't done the, you know, shoving and 15-yard stupid flag. Now it's holdings, and now it's the inability to hold on to the football when he's trying to fight for extra yards. So, yeah, DK is going to give you the 10 targets, 7 catches, 75 yards and a touchdown, but does he get 15 yards taken away, and does he get a possession taken away in the process? That's going to be the question.
You know, Dick, I wanted to ask you about the offensive line because you brought up Aiden Hutchinson, and last week the Giants got 7 sacks. But we got a Nick Bosa problem. We're thinking if Nick Bosa can't get to the quarterback in this game, then when will he get to the quarterback? But I want to ask about your defense here because this Tracy kid, Tracy Ginger from the New York Giants, nobody ever heard from him. He runs for over a buck 20. Guys, if David Montgomery had a big day on Monday Night Football, what is going on? Is it just simply put the injuries are catching up to the Seattle defense?
Yeah, I think it really is because all through the preseason and all through the first 3 games of the regular season, this team was a far better tackling team than what we've seen over the last couple, 3 years under Clint Hurt and Ken Norton and those defenses and Pete Carroll, a far better tackling team. And then all of a sudden, you take this guy out, you take that guy out, you take this guy out, you put these guys in that you have no idea who they are, and all of a sudden they can't tackle. So I think a lot of it has to do with that. Now, are they a great defense yet? No, I don't even think they're a great defense even when they get all the guys back. But I do think they're a good, solid, top 10, top 12 defense when they get everybody back. And you're right. I mean, I was sitting there in the stands and I was, I'm a fantasy football player. I take pride in thinking that I know the depth chart, at least the skill positions of the rest of the teams. And I was like, who the hell's 29? I had to go on my phone and look up who 29 was for the New York Giants last week.
I mean, we were talking about, I had him in fantasy. I cut him after like 3 weeks, and of course he goes crazy. It was just ridiculous. Look, for many years, the camera would pan over to Pete Carroll, and Niner fans just couldn't stand him for a variety of reasons. It was very layered. But on the field, there were two guys that were a thorn in their side, just like Bobby Wagner, just always making huge, huge plays on one end, and Russell Wilson just never being out of it, just constantly fighting, scrapping, scrambling for yards and making plays happen. And just both guys tormented Niner fans forever. Are there any guys on either side of the ball for the Niners that torment Seahawk fans?
Oh, yeah. I think if you just surveyed Seahawk fans and the most hated Niners, I think George Kittle probably would have to be number one. You know, they hate the long hair. They hate the pointing for the first down. They hate the tongue sticking out, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I appreciated George this last week when he talked about going up to Seattle and like teaching the young guys what it means to go to Seattle and what this rivalry means. And I think that's important for the Niners. I think it's important for some of the young Seahawks as well that might not have been through the wars between the Seahawks and the Niners. You mentioned Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner. I mean, there was a situation where the Seahawks got rid of one of them at the exact right time, and they got rid of the other one far too early. And Bobby Wagner is still showing he can play football, and the Hawks have had a middle linebacker problem ever since he left. So the Hawks made a mistake not re-signing Bobby Wagner. I think they wanted to move on. They're like, okay, you know, you're in your 30s. We're going to move on. We got the best out of you. But Bobby Wagner, leadership-wise and still the ability to play middle linebacker is nearly unmatched in the NFL. But, you know, Russell Wilson, I mean, heck, the Seahawks got the greatest trade in, you know, maybe in the NFL over the last couple of years. Maybe that Panthers-Bears trade was pretty good, too. But, you know, just a fantastic trade by the Seahawks.
No, there's no doubt about that. How does it play out tonight, man? How confident are they feeling up there in the Pacific Northwest?
You know, I don't think the Hawks are ready. I think if the Niners were coming in, you know, not licking their wounds and the Hawks could jump on them here, I think that would be an opportunity. But the fact of the matter is it's a great spot for the Niners. I mean, I just don't see you guys going 0-3 in the division. I just don't. And I think it's going to be a close game. If the Seahawks can run the ball and really establish Ken Walker, then it's a 4-quarter game. If it turns into another one of those Geno Smith throws it 40 plus times, this could be double digits. I think that, you know, Geno Smith, I tweeted this out yesterday. He is on pace to throw the 6 most passing attempts in the history of the NFL. I mean, Pete Carroll, even though he's not dead, Pete Carroll is rolling over in his grave right now, watching his former quarterback, a top 10 passer attempt guy in the history of the NFL and number one in the league. That is not Seahawks football. Just like it's not Niner football.
Right.
It's not Niner football to drop Brock Purdy back 45 times in a game. You've got to establish balance, and that is the only chance the Seahawks have to win this game is if they can truly establish balance. I'm going to go 24-20. I think the over-under is too high. I kind of like the over-under better than I like the side. I think 3.5 is probably about where it should be. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, 49.5 seems too high for me for two teams that, I mean, I think Jordan Mason wants to be established on one side and Ken Walker wants to be established on another. That doesn't scream 49.5.
Not to mention the red zone issues for the 49ers, Dick. 9-22 so far in the red zone for the 49ers. Yeah. They can't score touchdowns right now.
Yeah, the Hawks are having trouble there too. So yeah, I think a lot of field goals, and you know that's a field goal is an advantage for Seattle, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, who knows what your kicker's going to do? And I think the Seahawks' red zone defense is pretty good. So if the Seahawks can continually force the Niners to kick, you know, 40-50 yard field goals, you can't imagine you're going to go 3-of-3 on those.
Yeah,
I mean, you're going to miss at least one of them.
Yeah, that's an X factor.
Well, let's just hope our guy doesn't get hurt on a kickoff. I mean, Jesus Louise. I mean, DJ Dallas almost exploded Moody's career. I mean, he ran right through his soul.
No, he sure did. He sure did. Dick Fan, you're the best, man. I'll talk to you later on today at KGR.
Oh, sounds good, man. We'll talk to you later tonight.
All right, man. Dick Fan. This off the Dick Show up there in Seattle, man. They're the best up there. KJR 93.3. They love their Hawks up there. There's no doubt about it. They represent hard for the Seahawks, man. It's been fun to get to know those two fellas. And Dick Fan breaking it down. Both teams are desperate.